Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity in the highway to the north, this is Safety Wars for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. Where's this year going? Wow. So we have a pre-recorded program here on the second part of the program. I was on the PR broadcast with my friend Jody Fisher. He is the host there. And what's his business? He's in PR. If you grew up in the New York, New Jersey area, you may recognize Jody at the name from several local and regional news channels on both TV and radio. How long have I known him? Since 1985. So, known him a long time. We were able to reconnect on the internet, social media, that sort of thing. You know, the way everybody else does nowadays. And that's been known to get people into trouble from time to time. Hopefully you're not one of them. So we're going to be going back to hopefully some regularly scheduled programs. One day I'll be able to share what's going on over here with everybody, as I say. Anyway, your prayers, your support, and everything else are greatly appreciated here. Anyway, we're going to talk about the Baltimore disaster here with the Key Bridge. As usual, you know, we're going to go into some commentary right here and with Jody. And that's where we're going to go. Hopefully you'll enjoy our usual commentary. We're going to go with our stuff here before I get going here, because I'm likely to get on a rant. As usual, it's Tuesday, so our hot message number two. This is Safety Wars, broadcasting to our brothers and sisters in the occupied territory of behavior-based safety. Get out your secret decoder ring. Here is your nightly message.
Blame fixes nothing. Blame fixes nothing.
Let's remember that. Blame does not fix anything. And, let's remember the first one, too. This is Safety Wars, broadcasting to our brothers and sisters in the occupied territory of behavior-based safety. Get out your secret decoder ring. Here is your nightly message.
Human error is normal. Human error is normal.
Now, why do I play those two, right? Human error is normal, right? And the second one right here. Why do we play that? What we're hearing a lot of right over in the blogosphere, over on the news, the commentary, we have to go after those people that made a mistake with this ship. We have to go and, and they start with the whole, we're going to go and get them. We're going to find out how about we find out what happened first? Because I tell you what, you come across an investigation or dealing with people like that. We're going to go and we're going to get them. We're going to do this. We're going to guess what? You're not going to get any information out of them. You're not going to be able to prevent this. The other thing is this: blame fixes nothing. Right? Okay, they did it. Well, unless it was something criminal, then I don't know. Then, okay, we'll talk about it. But this, all indications at this point are that this was completely accidental. here, but we have to let the nature take the investigation take its course here with this here. So let's remember there are several people who passed away here. One as of, and the story I'm reading right here is as of late yesterday, one name has not been released to the public. So here we go. Who is missing here? The men that were working for the company were filling potholes. One of the missing workers came from El Salvador, Miguel Luna. Right? Again, father, he had a family. Another one, Dolorian Cabrera from Guatemala. Alejandro Hernandez Fuentes from Mexico. Right? These are all immigrants. Another one, Jose Minor Lopez from Guatemala. All right, so we know that Latino workers statistically are at higher risk of accidents and injuries, especially in construction. So what would I be looking at is, what kind of training do they have? What kind of planning do they have? Communications, things of that nature. Because I tell you what, I want to praise everybody involved here for preventing, for shutting down the bridge, that getting notifications. Reportedly, someone was out there to tell them to get off the bridge, which tells me that maybe the communications weren't that good. Maybe, weren't they able to make a phone call or have a radio, like a UHF radio or something like that. And again, with a radio or a phone, you got to assume that they're going to be using it. It's going to be available. Filling in potholes tends to be a very noisy activity. So that's the other thing. Rest in peace, gentlemen. Now, what? Now, and specifically with that. Now, as far as, the government has uploaded has created a website. We're going to go and we're going to share that right now. For your daily updates. All right. So here we have. This is the Key Bridge Response 2024. This was put out by the government. So this is non-copyrighted. So that's why we're sharing. We only share stuff on the share screen if it's usually a government or open source type of thing. So KeyBridge, the website is KeyBridge Response 2024. Update number 6, Multimedia Response. Unified Command opens second temporary alternate channel around the Key Bridge wreckage for commercially essential vessels. The captain, this is from today, the captain of the port established a second temporary alternate channel on the southwest side of the main channel near Hawkins Point in the vicinity of the Francis Scott Key Bridge for commercially essential vessels. This action is part of a phased approach to opening the main channel. The second temporary channel that's marked with government-lighted aids to navigation will be limited to transit at the discretion of the captain of the port, COTP. And during daylight hours only, it has a controlling depth of 14-foot and 280-foot horizontal clearance and a vertical clearance of 124 feet. The opening of these two alternate channels of transit of critical response resources, as well as the first commercial traffic movements through the area, is a significant milestone in our response activities. Our number one priority remains the opening of the deep draft channel. This is not in the report, but usually deep draft channel is something like up to 55 foot deep. All right. So these are for smaller vessels. They have a picture on the website. Let's see. These are the responders in their John votes. So you have, here you go. I'll click on this one. So right here, and this is a video of a ship going under that. So, you know, you're talking barges for the most part going under that in my experience. And this is part of the bridge, the roadway leading up to where the span was apparently. And smaller vessels like this are coming through here. Bigger issue is traffic. Just imagine the traffic that you have out there with with this roadway being closed, right? And I'm sure it's a problem if you live on one side of the bridge and you work immediately on the other side of the bridge. You're going to be going around. No, unless you can remote work somehow, this is going to be like a 1 hour, 2 hour commute one way a day. I've done this already. I've been on this bridge several times. And one time I had to close the bridge for an accident or something like that, and I actually had to go around. It was not fun from what I recall. But we're talking many, many years ago. If you're in the area and you have a VHF marine radio, they're broadcasting on channel 16. And they have identified a unified command, the U.S. Coast Guard, the Army Corps of Engineers, Maryland Department of Environment, Maryland Transportation Authority, Maryland State Police, and Whit O'Brien's, I don't know what that is, representing Synergy Marine. So this is all at Keybridge's Bridge Response 2024.com. And they have other all different types of really good information over there. And I would recommend everybody go out and check it out. All right, we do our deep dives here. We're going back to them, God willing, here. So Jody had I got to do a shout out to Todd Conklin and Jay Allen on this. Jody had a contact. We were in contact. He said, "Hey, Jimmy, what do you think about this?" I let him know. And I said, four good things. Todd Conklin's book, When the Worst Things Happen, or something like that. I don't have the copy of the title here. Came, friend of the program, he had pointed out three things. And Jody, in a prior podcast episode, I pointed out the same three things. Right? There's nothing secretive here. When you're faced with a disaster, an emergency communication, probably your best bet is to say nothing to the public. So you got to have a plan for that. Got to communicate that plan to your people, right? Because people, reporters, reporters, their job is to get information. A lot of them use all different types of techniques. I had mentioned in the podcast at the risk of sending misogynists that they'll use very well-dressed members of the opposite sex to go out there and get information. I've seen that happen when it doesn't matter whether they're male or female. Does not matter, right? Buy you a couple of drinks, talk a little bit of friendly with you, flirt with you a little bit, and they'll get information. You have to plan for that. I've been on a job where that happened, where somebody, the people were out there, they found a worker, had the statement already written, what they wanted to say. They just needed to attribute it to someone because I know the guy, and he's not that articulate, believe me. So he went out, and they went out, got a face, got a name, got a nice picture, got a little clip on the evening news, and it was the wrong information. He was releasing information like, hey, there were bodies that were found. There were no bodies found. And there were people missing, right, because they didn't come into work that day or something like they're on vacation, what have you, or they were just not accounted for. Didn't mean that they were in the water, freezing to death in February or March. But, this is the kind of reason why you have to go out there and keep control of the situation. So what do you tell your employees? You tell your employees, hey, any questions that are asked, you give it to so-and-so. You refer them over to this person, to this contact, period. And by the way, you're covered under non-disclosure agreement. The other thing that you do is, as part of your emergency action plan, your EAP, you need to go and with the EAP and put in there a a communications program. Right. Maybe you have a third party. You have me. You have someone like Jay Allen, right? Someone like that, Jody Fisher. Go in, and this is what our press release is going to be. Lawyer is right. Another one. This is what we're going to know. This is what we know. This is what we don't know. This is what we're trying to find out. And one that Jody Fisher puts out there is, which is good, this is who I am. This way, and now it's not to ring your own bell and everything. No. But it's PR, right? Maybe you have to ring your own bell a little bit, but that's not what the primary purpose is. This is who I am. This is what we're doing. This is what I do. And we'll see you back. Don't take any questions unless it's absolutely necessary, or vet the questions. Have reporters submit questions, because this is also what happens. If you're, now you can make an argument, I guess, that if you're like a regular John Smith employee, right? I guess you make the argument, well, they're not authorized to speak on behalf of the company, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I don't know where they come up with this stuff. It's not true. But again, you could see where it could cause you a headache because, hey, so-and-so said this, so-and-so said that, so-and-so said this. And it's a, you know, but if you're going to be a foreman level or above, you're considered company management, especially for the purposes of OSHA and some of the other regulatory agencies, I'm sure, part of their thing, where if you say this is what it is, guess what? That's what it is. That's maybe construed as or misconstrued as company policy. You don't want that. So you want to have everything filtered. The other thing is there are websites out there. I mentioned them in the podcast, the PR podcast that you're going to be listening to, where people go and they say things on the internet in writing. We had one person in the refining industry that ended up getting a visit from the Friendly Neighborhood Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC. Why? Because he said some stuff on the internet, and guess what happened? It impacted the stock price. Now you get accused of insider trading, or at least an investigation where you have that headache to deal with. So what's my moral of the story? Plan things out. A communications plan has got to be in your emergency response plan, emergency action plan, and everything else. We can help you along with that, 845-269-5772 or jim@safetywords.com. The other thing is those three things. Don't. No, this is what we know. This is what we don't know. This is what we're doing to find out. It's our current activities, and that's it. Now, I'm going to, and this is who I am. And now, praise. All right. And again, all written out ahead of time, even the bios. And I have to say, the state of Maryland and their emergency management officials, the governor, the mayor, everyone who I saw when this accident happened, phenomenal job. They did a phenomenal job. They can, every press conference I watch, phenomenal job. They stick to those points when, in their updates. And that's, if you want to see a textbook response on how you're supposed to handle things and you're in this field that we're in, safety, you need to watch at least one of those. And I would make it as part, no, I mean, I would make it as a safety meeting. I did this when it happened. Hey, this is a safety meeting. So we're going to go to commercial break, and then we're going to come back with our I got permission from Jody to broadcast this. I thought we did pretty good. That's Jody Fisher at the PR podcast.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Pozell with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
This is the PR Podcast, a show about how public relations helps you tell your story to the world. We talk with great PR practitioners who have the skills, creativity, and just plain savvy to get their clients noticed. Now here's your host, Jody Fisher.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the PR Podcast. I'm Jody Fisher. Thanks for joining us. Well, make sure you tune in to my Instagram Live every 2 p.m. Eastern on Thursday. Or actually, every Thursday, not every 2 p.m. Every Thursday, every 2 p.m. would be rough, right? Every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern.
This is the PR Podcast, a show about how public relations helps you tell your story to the world. We talk with great PR practitioners who have the skills, creativity, and just plain savvy to get their clients noticed. Now here's your host, Jody Fisher.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the PR Podcast. I'm Jody Fisher. Thanks for joining us. Well, make sure you tune in to my Instagram Live every 2 p.m. Eastern on Thursday. Or actually, every Thursday, not every 2 p.m. Every Thursday, every 2 p.m. would be rough, right? Every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern. I just jump on Instagram Live for 15, 20 minutes. We talk about some public relations stuff that's happening in real time. I like to do a feature called Why Is This News? Where I grab a story that I've seen that maybe might ask, you know, prompt people to say, well, how come that got covered? And I answer why I think that story ended up as news and how you can then use those suggestions to go away and do your news just a little bit better, be a little more successful in your story pitching when you're putting out that story that maybe isn't quite as obvious on why it should be placed. So that's Instagram Live at Jody Fisher on Instagram every Thursday at 2 p.m. Make sure you tune in because we want to hear from you. Now let's get on with our show today. We have a terrifically timely guest. Jim Pozell is an environmental health and safety expert with 31 years of experience in the environmental health and safety field. With degrees in environmental studies and in environmental policy, he spent his career in the environmental cleanup, construction, and disaster response fields, managing risks to both people and the environment. His experiences include the anthrax cleanups in New York City, explosive cleanups, and countless environmental emergency responses. He's board certified in certified safety professional and certified hazardous materials manager, along with credentials from the Department of Labor and Health and Safety. He manages JCP Technical Services and the podcast Safety Wars, which is a regular program on the Safety FM network and its sister video channels. Jim, welcome to the PR Podcast.
Hey, Jody. Like we were saying in before, well, this is like the first time we're talking face-to-face since about 89, 88, something like that.
So full disclosure, Jim and I went to high school together.
Yeah.
I think you were a year ahead of me, 2 years ahead of me?
One year.
Okay. So. And you have since gone on to create your own company in the environmental and disaster field. Hugely successful. And you launched this terrific Safety Wars. I guess it started as a podcast, but now it's grown. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so basically what happened, and we spoke back when I was setting it up and everything, because you're much more experienced with mass media than I am, obviously. So what happened was during COVID, I started listening to podcasts, and I did not realize, even being in the field, how many safety podcasts there were. But what we and I started listening to the Safety FM network, and they have a flagship program, the Rated R Safety Show. And it's similar to my what my program has become, where they have news and views and talk about safety and everything else dealing with safety. Mm-hmm. And I started instant messaging the host, and the host says, hey, let's set up a Zoom meeting and we'll talk. Because, and he said, did you ever think about having your own show? Because I said, well, me, I got this problem, that problem. He said, no, you'd be perfect, but you need practice. So it started out as a like 10 or 15 minute podcast where we pick a topic, but they're not like you go to some of these safety things and there's like, this is how you use a hard hat. This is on how to manage the jobs and the personalities that you have, and eventually evolved into live shows. It developed into a video cast, and you know, we're always growing, and you know, we're on pretty much every major podcast platform as Safety Wars and video platform.
It's fantastic. And it is a great show. I find that I like listening to it because it teaches me things that I don't know about, even though I'm not, I guess maybe sometimes I'm in that health and safety area, right, as a PR communicator. Right. But it's a really interesting show, and I'm so happy that you're having such success with it. We brought you on the show today to talk. The inspiration was this ship disaster and bridge collapse in Baltimore. But we wanted to talk about that, and we wanted to talk, you know, larger picture about crisis, true life, health, safety crisis. You know, people have lots of ideas of what a crisis is, right? And typically it revolves around celebrities, which I don't really think is a crisis. True crises to me, and I think to you too, are health, safety crises, right? Tell me about the world you live in.
Well, it all depends on what your idea is. A crisis, when I do my disaster response type of things, it could be defined as anything. It's essentially, it could be, you know, life or health, like you said, fatalities. It could be financial disaster. You could have a natural disaster. You could have a terrorism type of situation, man-made. You can have many different types, but it all comes down to this. You have to standardize your response to everything, and you got to prepare. Because, a couple of years ago, it's not so popular anymore. You had this left of the bang and right of the bang thinking. And that comes from the military. And I was never in the military, but I use a lot of their ideas. So the bang is the incident, regardless of what the incident is. And you want to be left of the bang, meaning in the preparation, prevention, and everything phase there, right? So that's where you want to be. You want to prevent problems. Inevitably, it's not when there's going to be a situation. If there's going to be a situation, it's when there's going to be a situation. You get to the right of the bang, and that's not when you want to be scrambling, because what happens is now you're in a panic situation. You're going to make things worse. Worse, what do you mean? It means it could be legal issues. It could be PR issues, which is your branch of what you do. It could be managing families, and you could cause psychological problems and hurts and everything. It could be many different things. So you want to have things left of the bang. You want to be in the preparation field. And this is where most companies fail.
You told me in a quick online exchange that you were liking what you saw in the immediate aftermath of the communications part of the Baltimore Bridge collapse.
Absolutely.
First off, before we get to that, maybe could you give me a reaction to what you saw in the actual incident itself? You know, there, leave aside the conspiracy theories. You know, we see that ship coming underneath, looks like it loses power, and then it hits that one pylon and the bridge comes careening down. Did you see anything special in that video?
Not really. Not really. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. What people don't realize, this is a massive ship. All right. It does not have to be going very fast to hit something and cause a lot of damage. What I was surprised about was that you look at a lot of bridges, especially up in our neighborhood, and it's either a result of 9/11 or in preparation for an event like this, you have what are called dolphins or bulkheads, around the foots of bridges. Now, I'm thinking the Outer Bridge crossing is a good example, the Gothels Bridge crossing that they just did, and over here at the Mario Cuomo Tappan Zee Bridge up where I live, you have guards, right? And what you have to think about, safety. A dolphin is just a guard around to prevent something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The big thing is what is safety? Right? We talk about safety. All we can talk about all day long, but nobody ever defines actually what safety is. So the traditional definition of safety, which we're trying to get away from, is safety is zero accidents, zero illnesses, zero injuries, zero catastrophic situations, zero everything. And then what happens? There's an accident, then all of a sudden you're not a safe, you know, your safety goes out the window, you're not safe anymore. Or, and this is where the PR comes into the situation where, oh, well, you're not a safe company because you had an accident. Got to get away from that. The way that we're doing this, this is, and this is a little bit controversial, is we're trying, in the human and organizational performance field where I am, my branch of safety, we define things as safety is capacity, your what you can do, and your resilience, your ability to adapt. So if you add more and more safeguards into a situation, the safer it's going, you're going to be. So this would be an easy, and again, this is Monday morning quarterback here, right? This is hindsight.
Of course.
Right? So here you had a situation where, according to what we're getting now, the ship went, lost power. All right? Okay, lost power. What were the backups? Why wasn't, now the questions that they're going through, why wasn't there tugs? Was there a history of problems here? There's a paperwork chase. Did they do their inspections? Were they documented inspections? Were these folks legally even allowed to be on the boat? Because apparently the parent company, according to a couple of reports out there, had issues, labor law issues with this. Were there, and then this all goes into safety. No, backups, guarding with the dolphins we hadn't mentioned, and all this other stuff. So the question is, more and more safeguards in, you're going to have a more and more safer type of situation and less likely to have an accident or incident. That's a little bit more of a realistic point of view with this. Like I said, eventually a ship's going to hit a bridge somewhere. You know it's going to happen. Hasn't happened since 1980 with the Tampa, Florida one. And so, no, that's where I'm looking. Now, my visceral reaction was, holy crap.
Wow. I think everybody, right? I mean, that's just horrific seeing that thing come down. I was amazed that there were no cars on the bridge. And in the immediate aftermath, the reports that I heard was that there was a Mayday call. And so the people who operate the bridge were able to stop traffic. And with the exception of those unfortunate souls who were actually on the bridge at the time, there was no vehicular traffic going back and forth, which blows my mind.
Well, yeah, that was we quote unquote got lucky on that. When they had that all worked out with the so somewhere there was a plan for that. That doesn't happen by
accident. That's what I wanted to get to. Right. Go ahead.
Somewhere there was a plan. Now, with the construction workers, I'm not familiar with the company, and I'm going to preface this by saying, we're going by press reports. A little bit of a disclaimer here. Now, if there's fines or anything else that happens, those get litigated, vacated, negotiated downward. So anything that comes out, we're just going off of what we have in the popular press, what we've seen here. So with the construction company, when they have six people missing, right? I don't know what all the details are. I hear many different details here. With this, and that's something that you got to control with your and with what you plan for too. People ended up, you know, where was their communications there? You know, that's my question is. They were all immigrants from South America. Was there someone on that crew that could speak English?
Or were they even in communication with the radio or anything like that? I mean, yeah.
What kind of training do they have? Because I'm going to tell you, and I shared this on my podcast several times. I'm not making this up. We had a situation where I was at a oil facility in a process unit, and the process unit was on fire. All right. I went and sounded the alarm, told, hey, blah, the person that I was responsible for, hey, you got to go. It's on fire. Know what his response was? I don't listen to safety people. And he just continued working. So I'm not going to risk my life. I left and then just made a notification to the fire department. Hey, there's a guy up, refuses to come down. So
and follow the plan, right?
Follow the plan. Is that, could that have happened here? I have no idea, but that this is the kind of stuff in the real world that I was talking about. That does happen. Yeah. That is a real thing there.
Let's fast forward to what you told me online, which was that you liked what you saw in terms of the communication from the people who were in charge of doing the investigation, the recovery, the response, et cetera, that you liked what you saw and heard.
Tell me about that. Loved it. You can tell
that right.
What they did right. Well, let's face it. 1:30 in the morning, this happens. They probably got the call probably 2:30 in the morning. You had the governor, you had the mayor, you had all the emergency response people from the city of Baltimore and the Baltimore County and everybody else. How does this usually work? It usually works where there's a, if you have a marine accident in a port, you get a report. It all gets handled by the Coast Guard, and they have what is called the captain of the port, which is, it's captain, but it's enroll only. It's usually a Coast Guard admiral that is in charge of the emergency response with that. They're in charge of the emergency response. So at 6:30 in the morning, I'm on my way into one of my projects, and they said, we're going to have a press conference on this. So I said, okay, I can't wait till I hear this one. Let's hear this. And there are four things. Now, and I base this on what my friend Todd Conklin says. He came out with a book. He's a world-renowned safety professional working on jobs that I'm not allowed to discuss, by the way. And he came out with a book, When the Worst Accidents Happen. And what the idea is three things. And they're what you say during this. I've heard you say it. What, this is what we know, and this is what happened. This is what we don't know. This is what we're going to, what we're doing to respond to this and what we're going to find out, right? And they told a little bit about themselves in there. So it was their opportunity to go in there. And they did not deviate from that. That's what they did. What they did with that. All positive things that they did. And every press conference that I have seen with this, they have not deviated from that plan. Maybe they say, well, we got a little bit more information. We got, no, this is what we're looking for, blah, 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 blah. But they really haven't deviated from that. Versus many of the other things, high profile, right? And I don't want to trigger anybody here, so this is a trigger warning. You had the Uvalde school shooting. You have the Sandy Hook school shooting. You had in a major oil facility that's not there anymore in Staten Island, New York, that had a situation. And all these other little small disasters. Now, the reporters show up in the field and everything, and people just start talking. Or they go to a news conference and someone's in a panic mode. And then all of a sudden, what happens? Now everything turns bad, that's not the word I want to use, but everything turns bad real quick.
From a messaging standpoint. Yeah, from a messaging,
a confidence standpoint, with the East Palestine, Ohio, it was, look at that, we got everything in there. They weren't really organized for that situation. And now it's snowballed out of proportion. And now everybody got on the bandwagon with that one. And now you have conspiracy theories, you have litigation, all this stuff that need not happen. And it's important to be prepared for this stuff. Who's going to be your spokesperson or spokespersons? So we write up what are called emergency action plans. That's one of the things I do. So I have a company that would call me and say, hey, look, we need an emergency action plan for X, Y, and Z. I'm in the midst of writing one right now for a software company that you've all heard of right now. And okay, what do we have to do? We have to prepare for X, Y, and Z. Okay, who's your spokesperson? What are their qualifications? You read a little bio of mine before we started. I have the bio already written. So now when I have a problem, just go to the website. Here's the link. Here's the bio, blah, blah, blah. Here's my qualifications. Here's my position.
Listening to what you're describing, safety plans and communication plans go hand in hand.
You cannot have one without the other. And the other thing is, what I cover is regulatory stuff. So because of what, so for example, in my world, the OSHA world and the environmental world, if you have a supervisor or above, and I mean like a foreman level or above, talking to the media, that may be interpreted by a regulatory agency or by an attorney as company policy.
Mm.
May or may not be company policy, but that automatically, that's company policy. And where I see happen is they start talking. I had a client that happened to last September. I wasn't involved with them until after it happened, where you had somebody just talking and talking and talking to everybody. And guess what? They ended up with an astronomical fine. And now they're involved in litigation over it because it's what he said, what the workers said to try to in front of this reporter was not what the truth was not factual or anything right. else. He was trying to be helpful. So now it's, well, what's truth and what's reality? What's fiction? You know, wow. It's a nightmare that they have to deal with. And they were dealing with a $700,000+ fine.
Wow.
With this and just possible criminal activity. So
just for that.
Just for that.
So you see how this goes downhill very, very quickly if you don't plan and if you don't stick to the plan.
Right. So we write a plan and everything else. And what the plan is maybe you want a third party talking. You hire me, you hire someone in your position, a PR person, an attorney is the other one. And okay, this is what it is. And you have craft a statement. Often it's just a script. The company that owns this ship has not, I don't want to share their name, but they have not issued, as a Singapore based company, they have not issued anything as far as I can tell.
No public statements at all. Yeah, I haven't seen any.
And that and Maersk, who apparently chartered the boat, they had a public statement that was very terse in a way, very short, very sweet, very. And that was it. And it's because once they start talking, now you have a problem with it. The less you say, the better. But again, you still got to stick with, this is what we know. This is what we don't know. Right. And this is what we're trying to find out. And by the way, this is who I am. And this is my position. And that's it. This also counts. We talk about public relations, dealing with the public internally. This is how you have to handle it also. With things.
Well, there's the other piece, right? What you're saying externally, and really, I think that we used to talk about internal communications and external communications, and I think that wall has come down now because, and especially in crises like this, there is no difference between internal and external unless you're talking about something that is, you know, legally private through confidential communications. What you tell, you know. The external community is what you should be telling the internal and vice versa, no?
So there is a perfect example now. Boeing, right? Big issues with the planes and everything else. There are many programs out there. I'm not an aircraft expert, but apparently they've been having problems with the 730 MAX, 37 MAX. And that was, from what I've researched, that was because they had to come out with a plane to compete with another one of their competitors, and they didn't want to go through designing a new plane and everything else. So what they ended up doing was they modified the 737 and made the 737 MAX, and it was easier to get through the regulatory process, right? So right now, I'm seeing on Instagram, I'm seeing on Facebook, and on Twitter, videos of interviews from Boeing employees from years ago when they had problems, and I'm not going to go into details because I'm not there. I can't check the veracity. They're going into all different types of details of deficiencies as far as quality control, as far as safety, as far as this. So now all of a sudden your internal communications, and again, I'm going to blame the safety professionals for part of this. We're not trained on how to communicate to people. Part of what I try to show people how to communicate would be later. No, they it's usually a transient position, meaning you're going to be there 3 to 5 years. You go there, you're working under the old definition of safety, and it's you got carrot and stick and the command and control. Nobody likes the safety person, right? Is what the end result is. And what ends up happening is what these internal things is people go and they put things on the air or on Instagram. There's a patch is the other big one. They put all this stuff, now complaining and everything else. All that ends up into the public record. Once it's on the internet, it's on the public record. A case in point, 2001, all admissible. And I've had people get contacted by the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, on safety issues because they put safety issues on the internet and it impacted stock price. So,
Oh yeah. There you go.
All right.
Now you've transcended the crisis and created a new one.
A new one. And that's what also goes into not having a plan in place with this, with the what we just discussed for the last 20 minutes. But what was I going to say? So anthrax cleanups, 2001. They were so tight-lipped on everything that was going on there. I used to be driving into the cleanup, right? And I'm an AM radio guy. I love AM radio, right? I remember you were on that radio station. It felt good to hear you on that radio station and back in the day. And, first time I couldn't believe it. I was like, is that Jody Fisher? You know? And I'm going into the anthrax cleanups. Where do you think I'm hearing what's going on my job from?
I'm sure you're on All News Radio. Yeah.
All News Radio. But even more than that, the Bachelor and Alexander program on 77 WABC out of New York. They had all the details of my job laid out. So I go into the people that are in charge. I said, you got a little bit of a leak here, folks. Well, what do you mean? I said, is this true? Is this true? Is this true? Is this true? I'm going all the way down. They said, yeah. I said, well, it was all on WABC radio here. And it's like,
was that job at Avenue of the Americas?
30 Rockefeller Center.
Oh, was it Rock Center? Okay.
30 Rock. And then it expanded into a CVS also. And everything. And that's really all I'm allowed to say about this. But, this is a perfect example.
I recall the story at the time.
Yeah. And this is I can't go into it. I will cut it at that.
There were a few of them. Yeah.
The idea was with the PR situation was with this, right? Public relations, who's in charge of the information, who's releasing the information and everything else. The other thing is I did a lot of graduate work my graduate work. And the project I was involved in, right? I didn't have a thesis, but I had a master's project, was on environmental reporting in the news. And are we getting accurate information or not? And the answer is often not. So you have to realize that when you're dealing with reporters sometimes, no offense, Jody, but you're dealing with reporters sometimes, they might have an agenda or they may have your editor or somebody in charge saying, look, we're looking for this sort of thing. Go and find the person, blah, 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 blah. Get the information that we need. And so you got to be very careful what you say, what you do. So,
I think reporters' jobs to be objective about it, I think their job is to go out and find as much information as they can. Right. I do think there are some reporters who do go out with agendas. I think those are few. But a reporter's job is also to push as much as they can push, right? I mean, that is their mission. And if they find, to your point, some willing person who's, they catch walking out of a building or whatever, and they just happen to, talk to that person, and that person was just upstairs and saw some stuff and shares it with them. Well, going back to our original point, that person is going off the plan. That person is deviating from what's been put out there as here's how we're going to take care of this. You mentioned about leaks. I mean, I think that's where a lot of that bad information comes from. If it doesn't come from someone who's in panic mode, like we said, it comes from someone who is off that plan.
So this is how you handle it. All right. You got to tell your employees prior to work. You need someone asks you a question. I don't care if it's a reporter. I don't care if it's on the internet. I don't care if it's in the bar, because that's the other thing that people do. They find where the bars are, and people go after work to the bar, right? And they get information there, buy them a couple of drinks and everything else. You need to talk to Joe Smith, or you have to talk to this person. You need to refer it all back to whoever your contact is. And that is it. And you do not deviate from that. No, regardless of how much you want to talk, you need to talk to blah, blah, blah. And that's it. You cut it off at that point. That's the way I handle it. Because the minute that they get you talking, now you're going to have a problem. So
there you go. Well, we can tell why you're really good at your job, Jim. And I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your perspectives here. We are going to wrap up this portion of our podcast and segue into the rapid fire question portion of the show. This is where we steal a page from Inside the Actor Studio. We ask our guests a series of rapid fire questions meant to elicit a simple answer, maybe a laugh or two with your indulgence, Jim Pozel. Rapid fire question number one, what is your favorite news source?
Safety Wars.
There you go. Very good. Very good. When is Safety? Give a plug for the show. When Safety Wars on? Where can people find it?
I regularly broadcast Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. on safetyfm.com. That's a live program. Look it up. I'm on that. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Twitter. I'm on on the video part, three Facebook channels. And by the way, we were the first program to report on the fake COVID-19 cards, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
So we were the first. And I found out there was a government website where you could download the card and fill it out yourself. So we were the ones who broke that story.
Good work there. All right, rapid fire question number two. What's your favorite social media platform?
I've been hanging out on Twitter or X.
Yep. Yeah, I'm still calling it Twitter. I don't care.
Yeah.
Rapid fire question number three, Jim. Coffee or alcohol?
Coffee. Specifically banana nut bread coffee.
Rapid fire question number four. What's your favorite on the run food?
Potato chips.
Any particular flavor?
I like them all.
There you go.
The hotter, spicier, the better.
And rapid fire question number five. What do you want to be after you finish this career?
I don't want to finish the career. This is where I'm in. I'm have not been happier doing anything. I like safety. I am getting out of the field. I do day-to-day safety on a couple of projects. We're getting out of them once the contract is up. And we're going to concentrate on training, on podcasting, on video broadcasts, and learning management systems with that. I'm done with doing field work. So, you know, I'll do that as an investigation. You know,
no doubt you will be hugely successful, as you have already been, Jim. This has been a great conversation. Please let people know how they can find you and Safety Wars online.
SafetyWars.com. I have links to all my stuff on that.
Terrific. We'll look you up. Thanks again, Jim. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Please remember to subscribe to the show. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at The PR Podcast, and send us a question or a comment. Our intro is by Christopher Apple. You can find him and his fantastic photography on Instagram at Christopher_APPOLDT. Check him out there and hire him for all your photography needs. You can find me online at Jody Fisher on all the socials and on the web at jodyfisherpr.com. We'll see you next time on the PR Podcast.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.